Here's another example of the power of words. Yesterday, regarding Syria, the United Nations Assistant Secretary General Panos Moumsis said, "We are running out of words to describe the situation there." He tried extreme. And yes, if you look up extreme in the thesaurus, the alternatives are not much better. Excessive, unconscionable, outrageous. And Moumsis wanted to know, what kind of tragedy will it take before the world at large is outraged by the actions of the Syrian government? The World's Rich Hall joins us from Beirut. Describe this government assault on rebel-held areas outside of Damascus, first of all, Rich. After nearly 8 years of atrocities, even this shocked people. 80 dead, right?
That's right. When you hear what's going on in Ghouta, the language used by the UN official there really does start to make sense. Let me just give you some numbers from the last few days. On Monday, there were 31 civilians killed. Yesterday, there were 80 civilians killed. The deadliest day in 3 years in Ghouta, eastern Ghouta. And today, when they were just recovering, clearing up the bodies from yesterday, another 30 civilians were killed. So that gives you a kind of idea of the onslaught that is taking place in eastern Ghouta now. Now, eastern Ghouta is kind of a suburb of Damascus, just northeast of the city. It's kind of a collection of small towns and farmland around there. And it's been under siege for about 5 years now by the government. The government has blocked all deliveries of food and aid going into eastern Ghouta. There are 400,000 people trapped there.
Wow.
The area itself is one of the few rebel-held pockets in Syria at the moment. There are two main ones. One is in Idlib and the other is in eastern Ghouta. So it's kind of surrounded by government-held territory. And you get shells being fired from eastern Ghouta into Damascus, into government-held territory. And the retaliation comes back into eastern Ghouta. And it's kind of this area of just intense bombardment at the moment.
So you've been WhatsApp messaging with a media activist in Ghouta named Nour Adam. Tell us about him.
Nour Adam is a 21-year-old media activist, and he was telling me what's been going on in eastern Ghouta. He's an English speaker, and this is what he told me.
I see yesterday a man lost his child, and I see actually many families all gone because of the flight of Assad regime and Russia. And today, there are more than 13 murdered, and most of them are children.
He's talking about the airstrikes there, the kind of artillery and airstrikes from the Syrian government. Like I mentioned, eastern Ghouta has been under siege for 5 years. For the last 2 months, more than 2 months in fact, no food or aid has got in. What's happened is that when food doesn't get delivered to these areas, prices shoot up. So not everyone can afford to eat. Obviously, there's a lot of sharing and a lot of people helping each other out, but it's very difficult. Nour told me that they eat one meal a day sometimes, if that.
Is this a strategy by the Syrian government of Bashar al-Assad to kind of starve the people out of Ghouta?
Exactly. This has been used throughout the war in Syria. It's an awful tactic. The aim is to starve people into submission, into surrender. If you stop supplies getting into a certain area, people are more likely to give up and be more likely to surrender.
So you also WhatsApp messaged with a man named Abdul Kafi Alhamdo. He's a teacher in Idlib, and Idlib is another place in Syria, as we know, that's been under siege. What is Abdul Kafi telling you?
Yeah, Abdul Kafi is someone we spoke to a few times, actually. He's an interesting guy. He was a teacher in Aleppo, and we spoke to him throughout the siege in Aleppo. And he fled Aleppo when the city fell to government troops, and now he's in Idlib. He's undergoing another siege situation where the government has also been attacking with Russian airstrikes as well.
People are fleeing. They don't know where to go. They just see a place on the street, and they stay there in this cold, in the house that I'm living in. The flat that is above my flat, it contains only two rooms, and there lived about five families. Five families are living now in two rooms. Just imagine, okay? And they are happy. They said that we are lucky that we have, you know, a place to live indoors. What about those people who are living outdoors, who are living in camps?
So Abdul Kafi is talking about the displaced people in Idlib there. Idlib is a province in the north of the country. It's currently home to about 2 million people, and half of them are displaced from other areas of the country. That's 1 million people displaced in Idlib. And since mid-December, 300,000 more people have been displaced within Idlib itself. So there are hundreds of thousands of civilians there, many of them not in their homes, staying with strangers, staying in camps. So you can imagine the kind of chaos there is at the moment with this intense bombardment.
We've been down this road before, Rich, with the war in Syria. The UN highlights the desperate situation there. People get upset, they get concerned, and then we all seem to go about our business. What is holding up something as basic as getting humanitarian aid in, let alone any kind of settlement to this conflict?
Well, I think this gets to the heart of why the UN official was so frustrated. He was making the point that the international community is looking away at the moment. He said there was a misconception that the war in Syria was winding down. Russia is leading diplomacy in these de-escalation areas. You must remember that Idlib and Eastern Ghouta were part of a de-escalation deal brokered by Russia that everyone thought was going to calm things down, but the opposite has happened. As we've seen over the last week, things are getting worse. This is some of the deadliest violence we've seen in Syria in a long time.
So what can actually be done? I understand the Assistant Secretary General's frustration, but I mean, if the narrative right now is the war is coming to an end, how much hope does he have?
It's difficult to say how it can be fixed, really. I think the perception in Damascus is that they don't really need to negotiate. The Syrian government is now in control of most of the country. International pressure from the US has dropped down. It's not really there anymore. They have Russia on their side. They are in a stronger position than they were 2 years ago. So I think the Syrian government doesn't really see a need to negotiate with rebels at the moment. And what we're seeing now is them pressing their advantage in Idlib and in Eastern Ghouta, the two rebel strongholds, and trying to recapture those areas. It's quite clear that they want to recapture the whole of the country.
The World's Rich Hall in Beirut. Thanks very much.
Thanks for having me, Marco.